my initial reaction was it was so populated in ways, and yet there were some other areas that weren't populated at all, you know. The other reaction was, I have to say that I was shocked or taken aback by the scale of the AIDS epidemic that's happening in Kenya and across the African continent. I mean, for example, when we went down to Nuu, which is a small village area of about 10 kilometres, you know, in total area, so people would have to walk for about 2 hours every day to get water. But that was among a population of about 5,000 people. Of that 5,000 people, 95% of them were infected by the AIDS virus, or HIV positive. So, and that's just, if you take that as a kind of a, just a microcosm of just a huge, I mean, Kenya itself is what, you know, the size of Western Europe. So this is just one little village there, you know. And, you know, the way the whole AIDS epidemic has been spread is very sad, but, you know, there are now treatments available. But the problem is that to start on this ARV treatment, as far as I am aware, your body has to be at a particular weight and in a particular healthy state before you can start taking the treatment, because otherwise it won't work. So the whole problem is to try and get people who are totally, totally undernourished to a proper weight so that they can start, you know, availing of the treatment. Mm. Plus, you know, the cost of it in places too.
Mm. Now, you said you met some Mercy Sisters, and there is a strong Irish input out there. I mean, how do they cope?
I have to say that, you know, you would, growing up, you'd hear about missionaries and, you know, about the whole, I suppose, NGOs and all of that. I have to say that my, I suppose, experience and my opinion of these people has absolutely rocketed. You know, I have such, I suppose, in some way, respect for them now because of the work they are doing. Down in the area of Nuu, where the Mercy Order have been for a number of years, in Africa, one of them was Sister Gretty Ward, who's from West Cork, from Bandon, but has been a Mercy Sister in Carlow all of her religious life, and was working there as a nurse, and then when she retired, decided to go and work out in Nuu, out in near Mwingi. And her work basically is attached to the local clinic, and then going out working with families, you know, who are dispersed all around the countryside, and to try in some way and provide support at many different levels. Like, for example, one of the local opticians in Carlow, where I had just been out working with her, and he had been able to decide what people needed, cataract operations and other, that they would never have an opportunity before. Because one of the things I found fascinating, that in Africa, I saw very, very few people wearing glasses. And the reason being is that they just...
They don't have them.
Yeah, they don't have them. They don't have the medical opportunities to avail of them, or opticians or anything like that. But during the week, I had a text back from her to say that she had taken a busload of these people up to the city, which is about 6 hours in a bus, or 9 hours in a small Matatu bus. And they had availed of... They were able to have operations. And this lovely text that said that she was very moved by people saying, "I can see, I can see, I can see." Mm. You know, which is quite biblical in one sense.
Yeah. But have you come back depressed?
When I was out there, I mean, I remember one day going out to a place called Lynette, which is in a place called Nakuru. It's about 2 hours out of Nairobi. And we went out on home visitations of people who have AIDS. And I think what I found very difficult was to see that in many cases the men have died, and that the mothers who have been infected by the disease are trying to cope with the illness themselves, but also to cope with their own children who are also infected. And this sign is this whole sense of helplessness, and yet there are so many people who are working on the ground for them. So I think you have to have hope in the midst of despair, because otherwise, you know, who gives hope to these people? You get angry. I mean, I came back and you know, you see a lot of waste, and I mean, even the amount of money, including myself, and I'm, you know, I'm in the equation as well. If you take the amount of money that we spend even on cosmetics,
on
you know,
cosmetics.
Well, on everybody's. I mean, I might say that the female population probably, you know, as well as the male population. But when you think of the money we spend on cosmetics and to see how far that could go, you know, in terms. But you can't either come back and you can't, you know, expect everybody to think with an African mindset here, you know. But I suppose two things I would say is that I learned. One was to, you know, I suppose to appreciate what I have myself. And secondly, maybe to see the world in a different way. Every day, 29,000 children die from hunger and malnutrition and disease. That shouldn't be so.
What can we do?
I think the first thing is that, you know, people can... It's a good question, because people sit at home and say, well, what can I do? Mm. I think the first thing we can do... And I'm not preaching, because I've preached myself as well, and I don't want to come across as that. I think awareness is the first thing, that I sit down and I inform myself. And in doing so then... You know, when I inform myself, you know, can I, you know, it's a choice. Do I turn the blind eye to it or can I do something? I think the unsung heroes of life have been the people who totally selflessly have given their lives to other people. And while there's a lot of cynicism about church, you know, I think this is one group of people that we certainly, certainly have to admire. You know, can you imagine, you know, going into complete darkness at 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening? No communications. To do that every day of your life, you know, and be so cut off from people, and yet to do it for love of people and respect for people, I think that takes a lot of guts.